From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues his extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua. Chapter 12 contains a resume of Israel's conquest of the land of Canaan, from the first battle east of the Jordan to victory west of the Jordan. In this message, Dr. Cairns will show that in his conquest of the promised land, Joshua was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, Joshua and Jesus both finished the work to which they had been called. As Joshua vanquished Israel's enemies, so Christ was victorious over his and our enemies. Then, both Joshua and Jesus furnished a great inheritance for their people. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Jesus, the Perfect Savior. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There are different translations of these words. One version renders it, I will show thee great and fortified things. Another, great and reserved things. Now there are reserved and special things in Christian experience. All the developments of spiritual life are not alike easy of attainment. There are the common frames and feelings of repentance and faith and joy and hope, which are enjoyed by the entire family. But there is an upper realm of rapture, of communion, and conscious union with Christ, which is far from being the common dwelling place of believers. We have not all the high privilege of John to lean upon Jesus' bosom, nor of Paul to be caught up to the third heaven. There are heights in experimental knowledge of the things of God which the eagle's eye of acumen and philosophic thought hath never seen. God alone can bear us there. But the chariot in which He takes us up, and the fiery steeds with which that chariot is dragged, are prevailing prayers. Prevailing prayer is victorious over the God of mercy. By His strength He had power with God, yea, He had power over the angel, and prevailed. He wept, and made supplication unto Him. He found Him in Bethel, and there He spake with us. Prevailing prayer takes the Christian to Carmel, and enables him to cover heaven with clouds of blessing, and earth with floods of mercy. Prevailing prayer bears the Christian aloft to Pisgah, and shows him the inheritance reserved. It elevates us to Tabor, and transfigures us, till in the likeness of His Lord, as He is, so are we also in this world. If you would reach to something higher than ordinary groveling experience, look to the rock that is higher than you, and gaze with the eye of faith through the window of importunate prayer. When you open the window on your side, it will not be bolted on the other.
Me. His eye is
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Now we turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 12, the 12th chapter of the book of Joshua. We're going to spend, the Lord willing, a couple of weeks here in chapter 12, a chapter that's very frequently overlooked. We'll read the first 8 verses and then the last line of the final verse. The verses in between giving us a list of the kings whom Joshua conquered. Verse 1 of Joshua 12. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. And from the plain to the sea of Kinneroth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pisgah. And the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salcah, and in all Bashan, unto the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west, from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. In the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. All the kings, 31. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. The 12th chapter of Joshua is a resume of the entire campaign waged by the children of Israel from their first victory over Sihon, east of Jordan, to their victory over the last of the 31 kings on the west of Jordan. This is a valuable portion of Scripture from many points of view. But today I want to emphasize just one point of view. That is, I want to emphasize the work and the leadership of Joshua, as this passage presents him to us, as a type of Jesus, the perfect Savior. As we look into this passage, we will see history, but I trust we will see more than arid historical fact. I trust that in that history, we will see spiritual truth. I have been emphasizing for these past weeks that Joshua, we have the authority of the inspired apostle for saying so, Joshua is presented to us in the book called by his name as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. His work is typical of the Savior's work. And the rest that he gave to his people is typical of the rest that the Lord Jesus gives to His. So it is with biblical warrant that we look at the 12th chapter of Joshua, and we see in him and his work a picture of Jesus, the perfect Savior. In order to follow this theme, I will note three things about Joshua and draw the obvious parallels with Christ and his work. Let me remark these three things, and I'll give you them right at the beginning, just in case I don't get through, but so that you can see how the chapter as a whole speaks of Christ, and we will focus then on the details. Joshua finished his work. Joshua vanquished his enemies. And Joshua furnished a great inheritance for all his people. And in those three great particulars, he stands forth obviously as a picture of the other Joshua, the greater Joshua, even the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Joshua finished his work. Here in this 12th chapter, we read of his campaigns on the west of Jordan. We have a list of 31 kings who fell before him until the land was his. He finished the work. Now that fact, of course, forces us to think of when he commenced that work. And our chapter begins with conquest made on the other side of Jordan, on the east of Jordan, in the time of Moses. Now it's very interesting that in that time when Moses was the acknowledged leader and lawgiver in Israel, it was actually Joshua who led the army of Israel to its victories. Moses was the leader and the lawgiver of the nation, but it was Joshua who conquered every foe. Go back, right back to the 17th chapter of the book of the Revelation, or should I say of Exodus, where you have the first great battle that the children of Israel had to engage in at Rephidim. And while Moses was lawgiver, it was Joshua who was the captain of the host. It was Joshua who fought and won the victory. And that was true when they fought with Sihon. It was true when they fought with Og. It was true when they took all the land from the river Arnon right up to Mount Hermon on the east of Jordan and gave it to the 2.5 tribes. When Moses died, therefore, Joshua carried on to the finish the work which he had begun. Now that's a picture I want you to see very clearly, because I think it's a picture with some very vital lessons. Throughout the scripture, Moses is spoken of synonymously with the law. Sometimes the very name of Moses is put in when the man is not meant at all. It is the law and the legal system that is meant. They have Moses and the prophets. Lord Jesus is not saying they have the man Moses. No, they have the law and the prophets. So Moses represents the law. Joshua represents the Lord Jesus Christ. So get this picture in your mind, and I think you'll find there are some wondrous and important spiritual lessons. Let us note first the idea of continuity. Obviously, there were differences between the time when Moses ruled the children of Israel and when Joshua took the full leadership. There were differences between the economy under Moses before the people crossed Jordan and after they crossed Jordan. But nonetheless, there were very real points of continuity. In other words, these were not two great plans that God had. It was one plan. Oh, it was in two parts. The River Jordan was not only a geographical divide, it was a spiritual divide as well. There was a very real progress made. When Moses died, Joshua took full command and led the people in. But nonetheless, it was the same plan that God was executing. And we find that very truth comes to great prominence in the gospel. There are obvious differences between the Old Testament and the New. Those who refuse to see those differences will soon end up in heresy. But while there are differences, it is foolish to make such a distinction that one is really cut off from the other. The Lord Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." The gospel of the New Testament is not something new, as if the Old Testament people were saved in some other way. That's a heresy that has been foisted even upon Bible believers. Those who are great adherents of the late C.I. Schofield will know that Mr. Schofield at times was very, very foolish in some of his statements, and some of them were to the effect that in the Old Testament people were saved by personal obedience to the law, whereas in the New Testament we are saved by faith in Christ's obedience. Let me say to you, God never at any time has saved a sinner by his personal obedience to the law. Neither has God proposed to a sinner that he be saved by personal obedience to the law. That would not be a gospel. That would not be merciful. That would be utter and a necessary condemnation, because sinners already fallen in Adam have no means of fulfilling the law. And to tell a man, keep the law perfectly, when he is already in breach of the law by virtue of his very birth, is to tell that man there is no salvation possible for him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.